Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 164, 5 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast. 165 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric Wahlquist, and joining me this week is a great friend, but a bad loser. His name is...
I'm Jesse the Weasel Wilson. What makes you say that?
Oh, come on, dude. You're not the most graceful loser in the world.
What have I lost recently?
I don't even lose.
Exactly.
I'm flabbergasted.
Don't call me a bad loser when I'm winning everything.
I just love that, like, you love competition so much that I tried to do a side bet with Levi this week in the Fantasy Football League, and you weaseled your way in.
That's why they call me the weasel, baby.
Jesse the Weasel Wilson.
It's because I don't have a Halloween costume yet, and I have nothing to lose, and I really, really want to see you be Ben Roethlisberger for Halloween.
You know I have a Halloween costume that I've spent a lot of time on.
I try not to pay attention.
Are you serious?
To your plans. You're a Ghostbuster?
No, come on, dude. Remember PAX?
Pretty sure you're a Ghostbuster or Fred Flintstone.
Right. That's it. You got me pegged. But
oh, that's right. You're Fraser Crane.
Those. Yeah. No, I'm Niles.
I was thinking about being Niles for Halloween this year, honestly, but then I was like, wait, no one's going to know because it's just me.
Well, if you could find a 90s suit with out of control lapels.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be.
And the striped collar.
Yeah, and you have to have like a glass of sherry as well. I think that would give it away.
Well, I'll live up to being a bad loser when you finally beat me at something, but until then, that does not apply.
Hey, want to play Madden?
I'll beat you at Madden.
Oh, man. How was your week, buddy?
You know, I'm going to get to that in my second topic.
Mm. Well, how about them Seahawks, man?
Yeah, that game gave me literally... I was not kidding when I said it made my tummy hurt. I think it gave me an ulcer.
Me too. My stomach was in knots. But, like, I tuned in. So I did the thing because they just looked deplorable the first half. And then I did my thing where I turned it off, which is, like, the best thing that the Seahawks should have me turn off the game every time.
Well, first he did the thing where you bitch about it on Facebook.
Right.
As long as we're calling each other out.
No, that's a given. That's a given. Mostly because I'm by myself. I'm sitting on the couch by myself.
I might be a sore loser, but you're a sore Seahawks loser.
I literally posted something that I always say. I have my go-tos when I'm watching the game. If the Seahawks look like shit, then I say, you play like losers, you lose like losers. So I decided to post that. And then the other one is when receivers don't catch the ball, I go, it's literally your only job.
You have one job.
You have one job. It's to catch the ball. Why aren't you catching the ball?
You also have if you have to cheat to win, that's what you gotta do, which is my favorite.
That's a good one if you're playing a board game or something.
Yeah, but luckily the Houston's
mm-hmm.
decided that they would cheat for us to win.
Right, exactly.
With the judo slam body.
Oh man.
Body slam.
Yeah. But I actually went off. I like watched something on Netflix because I was like, I cannot handle how shitty the Seahawks look in this game. And then I turn it back on, and then it was like 6-14 at that point, or was it 6-17, 6-20? And so they were down by 2 touchdowns, and I was like, I think they're gonna win this game, and then they won.
Yeah, oh. It was pretty nuts. In the third quarter, I was talking to Tasha, I was like, you know, 3-1 is still good. 3-1 is still a really good start to the season.
Right.
But I went upstairs and I grabbed what has become my rally sword.
Yep.
Which is my beige colored wooden sword.
Not your maroon covered? Not your maroon colored one.
No, that one, I don't know. That's going to have to be like a special occasion. That might have to be like my hold on to the lead sword.
Right, yeah.
But, the rally sword served me well during the Panthers game and the Texans game, so I think that's a thing. And it's only weird if it doesn't work, according to Bud Light.
Exactly. I mean, I think that you would have a hard time bringing that into the stadium, but...
That's why. That is the reason I don't go to the football
game. Exactly. You can't bring your rally sword.
I tried, you know, talking to the guy, the security guy, but
come on, man, it always works. Yeah, but then speaking of side bets, so I guess I should explain this. So Levi and I are competing against each other this week in the Arrogant Move Fantasy Football League. And I like to do a little side bet. I did one with Aaron Martinez. He lost. He has to write me a song. You might hear that on this week's Get Off Your Running Back podcast because he's going to be guest hosting. But also, for this one, I was like, I just want to do a side bet with Levi because, you know, we've been friends for so long. And also, both of us only have one loss, and that one loss is to you, Jesse, which I think is an interesting...
Your one loss. Yeah. Interesting that you didn't propose a side bet when you went up against me.
Well,
it's a thing. Well, see, I gotta get it now because you were too chicken to do a side bet the first week.
Well, I thought that your side bet was actually really good. Because if what you first proposed was to the loser has to dress up like Ben Roethlisberger for Halloween, which is, I would get so, that would be like the worst punishment for me. I would be so mad to do that.
I know, it would be so funny.
But obviously,
you weren't that confident in your team because you chickened out.
Well, I can't, dude. I can't because I've spent a lot of time and moolah on my costume for Halloween.
Guess what?
So.
Halloween comes like 3 or 4 times a year, dog. All right, you're Batman.
Yeah, duh. No, thanks for giving it away.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. So, anyway, but then I was like, but then you proposed
you
a great one.
Batlethburger.
Yeah, I'll just do a 7 on my chest.
It really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Batlethburger. I can't even say it. But then you proposed we should play for pink slips and we should play for the quarterback. And so that's what we're doing. The loser has to give his quarterback to the winner this week, which I think is an awesome, awesome side bet.
It's a good thing you both have garbage quarterbacks.
Michael Vick's not a garbage quarterback, and neither is Jay Cutler.
Dude, I don't think Michael Vick's going to do very well fantasy-wise or IRL this year.
Well, so anyway, we're playing for pink slips, and then I think that we need to figure out a side bet to do with A-Ron because the Seahawks are playing the Colts in Indianapolis this Sunday.
Yeah.
So we need to figure out a bald move side bet
with
the A-Ronator. So anyway,
this is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Who's someone we both hate? Because I know you love Tom Brady.
Actually. He hates Tom Brady so much.
I know. He hates Tom
Brady.
Okay,
he hates Tom Brady, and we hate Colin Kaepernick.
Okay, so if we lose, I have to be called... Oh, man. Oh.
Honestly, Colin Kaepernick is a cooler costume because you can, like,
draw
the tattoos.
I don't want to finish saying it, though.
What?
I don't want to finish saying it. These are high stakes. I would have to be Colin Kaepernick for Halloween, or he has to be Tom Brady.
Right, yes.
Oof.
Oh, that might be good, man. That might be real good.
I'll do it. I'll do it if he does it.
All right, proposed. If the Seahawks beat the Colts, then A-Ron has to be Tom Brady for Halloween. If the Colts beat the Seahawks, Jesse has to be Colin Kaepernick for Halloween.
Yikes. Get your Uggs out, A-Ron.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and move on. Speaking of good stuff, Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
Oh, I'm drinking free pale ale, to be specific, from work. And I also have a backup growler of water.
Oh,
guys, don't jump to conclusions.
That's a good idea, man, because last time you had the backup growler of beer.
Mm-hmm.
We all know how last week turned out. I'm drinking a beer that I've never had before. I don't know if you've heard of this, the Fishtail Ales?
Oh, yeah, they're out of Leavenworth.
They're out of Olympia.
Oh, are they the organic?
I don't know, Fish Brewing Company in Olympia, Washington.
Right.
Fishtail Ales, I'm drinking the Hodgson's Bitter End IPA.
Oh, dude. All right, this is disputed turf.
Okay.
At the brewery where I work at, for the last 10 plus years, we've had a Bitter End IPA.
Wow.
It's one of our signature styles. And then all of a sudden, they're like, we have the Hogston's Bitter End IPA. Mm-hmm. It's totally different because it's Hogston's Bitter End IPA.
Hogston's.
Yeah, it's actually really funny to me. And I don't really have a dog in the fight because I don't own the brewery. But if I did, I'd be pissed off.
Well, they do have a cool label, man. It's a cool looking
label.
I know, it's
much cooler than ours. Wait, I didn't say that.
Well, regardless, I think it's a pretty serviceable IPA. I'm sipping on it. It's got a nice nice body to it, which I enjoy.
I had it at Father's Day Fest. I wasn't that impressed, but again, I'm fairly biased.
Well, that's true. And also, you know, it was also on sale, and I've had a lot worse beers on sale. Last week's Scuttlebutt Golden whatever.
Golden Pale Ale.
Which is really weird. It was much worse than this. So
yeah, the thing is, it's been called the Hogston's forever.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's an old beer. And then me and the head brewer, we were doing Father's Day Fest, and we're like, hey, they're calling it Hogston's Bitter End now. And like, we're not sure how long it's been called Hogston's Bitter End versus just Hogston's.
Right.
But it is weird. It's the same name as our beer.
Well, it's not too bad. And Jesse, who is this episode dedicated to?
It's your week. You preempted me last week. So.
Oh, I thought that you said you had somebody. Well, I'm gonna default to my beautiful wife Lydia. We've been married we celebrated our 10-month anniversary yesterday. So
yeah, that's coming up on the
coming
big
up
one.
On the big paper anniversary. Lydia's not too excited about the paper part of that. But I told her that I would get her a pinata shaped like me, and she was kind of excited about that.
Ooh.
Pinata.
It's filled with $100 bills.
Yeah, that's not bad, right?
No.
All right, well, let's get to some listener feedback this week. We actually got quite a bunch of listener feedback, which is always excellent. We'll start off with the email we got. This guy's got an awesome name. Jeffrey Bowser.
Mm.
His last name is literally Bowser.
So that makes... I mean... Obviously, there were Bowsers around when they came up with Bowser for Mario.
Right. And there are also Marios around. This is this is another thing that is always weird to me. So, it's like everybody outside of the Pacific Northwest, instead of saying Mario, they say Mario. Have you noticed this?
Yeah. No, I've heard that before. It's weird.
Mario.
And wrong.
Yeah, it's weird and wrong. It's Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wario. It's very easy, right?
They say Wario.
Wario, yeah, exactly. All right, well, Bowser says, hey, guys, love the show. Catching up on the old episodes, so I haven't listened to the most recent 10 or so, but I just wanted to do this quickly while I have a free minute. While I was watching the Breaking Bad ending, it literally made me cry, which is weird for me because I haven't cried other than in really bad pain once since I was about 13 or 14, and I'm 19 now, so I'm feeling sad and curious.
Oh,
sad and curious is actually the name of my new improv jazz album.
It's the name of my emo band, so I'm getting in another name dispute here.
Excellent. So here are some questions. Number one, what, if any, TV show, movie, or book has made you cry, gotten a visceral response from you?
Oh, Jesus. Everything.
Yeah, that's right. Like Game of Thrones, like how many times has Game of Thrones made you cry?
Oh, 100.
Yeah. Well, that's like, I talked about last week's show. I was watching the new show Derek, which is the new Ricky Gervais show. 7 episodes are available on Netflix. 4 of them made me cry. The last one literally made me bawl.
Yeah.
I was also really drunk, but...
Yeah, Bowser, you're talking to a couple of guys who are pretty soft.
Pretty soft. And also,
pretty soft.
And I was like, I don't think I've cried that much since The Green Mile. And then my wife's like, The Descendants. And I was like, oh yeah, The Descendants made me cry so much. The Descendants, I watched Descendants by myself, which is like a George Clooney movie. I watched it by myself, and I was crying like crazy, and my wife came home right at the end while I was, like, bawling, and I got up and, like, hugged her and told her I loved her, and, like, yeah, we're a bunch of softies.
Yeah, yeah.
but he asked, number two, if so, does it happen when you're reminded of it? Because I'm probably going to get all weepy every time I hear Baby Blue by Badfinger from Now Until I Die. Wow. Yeah, I don't really do it retroactively, but...
No, I don't either.
Got to be in the moment.
I got it out of my system.
And usually being drunk helps. anyway, he says...
You're 19. Take that advice to heart.
Yeah. And then this sounds really interesting. Because also, I was randomly hopping through Wikipedia, when I came across an upcoming show, Penny Dreadful, starring Josh Hartnett. The show is going to be taking inspiration from Frankenstein, The Picture of Dorian Gray, and presumably stories from Penny Dreadful magazines, pulp magazines, and dime novels. Since you guys always talk about Cthulhu, I thought you might like this because I think they have H.P. Lovecraft influence in it. But that might just be wishful thinking. That's all. And he says, please stay arrogant. Bowser, thank you so much for writing in. And I'm just going to call you Bowser. I'm sure all your friends call you Bowser.
They better.
Yeah.
That's a cool-ass name.
It's a cool-ass name.
But don't cry about it.
All right. And then up next, we got a couple of voicemails. So here's the first one coming from Florida.
Hey, Jesse and Eric. This is your, Floridian. I'm pretty lit up right now. I just had a Southern Tier pumpkin ale, and it's one pint. Man, this is some good stuff. Let me tell you what. You guys need to talk about this. It's awesome. All right. I know one of you guys isn't a fan of the pumpkin ales or whatever, but this stuff is great. Oh, come here, Brooklyn. Anyway.
Wilson?
I was just calling because nobody called him last week, and my Patriots beat Atlanta. I know it was a close game there at the end, but go New England Patriots. Anyway, I love y'all's show. It's awesome. Keep doing what you guys are doing. Don't change. Get off my back. This is Jay Falero from New Smyrna Beach. Peace out.
JJJ.
That's not Hot Babe Jay.
No, it's not Hot Babe Jay. It's Jay from Salerno Beach.
We got a regular Jay off over here.
We do. God. Yeet.
Wait, if you're from Florida, how are you a New England
That's
fan?
What I was wondering, dude. Like, you literally have three football teams in your state, and you can't figure out one of them.
Yeah, one a direct rival of the Patriots. I actually, so, Eric, I gotta admit something here.
What's that?
I like those new Dolphin uniforms.
Aren't they cool?
I like them.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to really like the retros, though, when they do throwbacks, because I love the Dolphin with the stupid football helmet on. It's so goofy.
That doesn't make any sense. It's wearing a different helmet.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely deliberately got rid of that. But, man, I really like it. It looks like, it's like Miami Vice invaded your team.
I think they're pretty sweet. I like the new uniform. Like, football uniforms don't really have a strong precedent like baseball uniforms do. I'm like, go crazy with them, man. It's one of the best parts of the Arena Football League. But yeah, why don't you become a Jags fan? Why don't you become like one of the handful of Jags fans?
Yeah, you get two free beers. Even just for tuning in, they send you two pints of pumpkin ale in the mail.
Speaking of pumpkins, Jesse, I'm actually thinking about trying pumpkin ale for the first time ever in my life.
Wait, you've never tried it?
No, the idea just sounds disgusting to me.
Eric, you were shit-talking it so hard last year. You've never even tried it.
I don't like vegetables in my beer, man.
It's a gourd?
Get your gourd off my beer.
And hops are a vegetable, technically?
I guess.
I don't know what they are. They're a leaf.
Yeah, but do you have any pumpkin ales that I should try?
Dude, get the Great Pumpkin from Elysian.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Imperial IPA. I think that's my favorite one because normally it's like, okay, we're going to do a pumpkin ale. So we've got to start with a porter because it's supposed to be dark and it's fall. Then we're going to throw in cinnamon and we're going to throw in this and we're going to throw in that. But the Great Pumpkin is just like, here's an IPA with pumpkin and it's really good.
Right.
So do that one. Actually, this weekend is the Great Pumpkin Festival in Georgetown. If you want to check that out, that'd be a great place to start.
Hello.
I don't know if tickets are still available or not, but that's hosted by Elysian. Elysian makes a weird amount of pumpkin beer. It's like their jam.
Okay.
But yeah, start with Elysian's Great Pumpkin.
Okay.
The Red Hook Pumpkin, I forget what it's called, but it's pretty solid this year.
All right. Well, up next we got another voicemail. This one comes to us from across the pond, home of the game where one person won for the first time this past weekend.
Wow.
Jolly old London town. Here it is, Sam.
You phrased that perfectly.
Exactly. I know. I have a strong grip on the English language. And speaking of English, we're going to England. Here he is, Sam. Take it away, buddy.
Hey, Eric. Hey, Jesse. Sam from London here. Just phoning up, so I wanted to talk to you guys about Eurogamer, the video game convention, which was held last week from Thursday to Sunday in London, Earls Court. And yeah, so as usual, video game convention, the usual games which everyone looked forward to were going out there. So you had like Battlefield 4, Call of Duty. They were even showing new games like Destiny and Beyond. You know, you had your PS4 and Xbox One around. But I thought, you know, these are things everyone expects. But just wanted to talk about a couple of games which maybe aren't quite, well, maybe one is highly anticipated, but the other one isn't. So, first of all, Batman Arkham Origins. I've spoken to you guys about it before and put it on the Facebook messages. Just looking absolutely brilliant. So, I know you guys say you would probably wait and get it on sale, but, you know, I don't think it really matters when you get it. It's just make sure you do it at some point. It's definitely one to get. But, you know, that was a game that we're still waiting to come out. I think it's the end of October that one comes out. But, yeah, there's a game that's already out, Payday 2, and got to play on that. That's really good. So basically with that one, it's a first-person shooter, and you go and rob banks. And then you have to basically just take out the police as they come and try to arrest you. But the funniest thing about it was you when you try a name, your gun just went everywhere, so it was a really good laugh. But anyway, so to be honest, that's the entire roundup. I mean, most of the games were just the ones you expect. But anyway, just wanted to know what you guys think of any current games you've seen out, and if you think there's anything good coming out anytime soon, and one to get for Christmas. So thanks for listening to me, and I'll be listening to you Wednesday, Thursday-ish.
And thank you, Sam. Get off my back. I actually played Arkham Origins at PAX with Aaron. We got to talk to some of the developers. I love Arkham Origins. I thought that was a really, really good game. I loved Arkham Asylum. I loved Arkham City. And this is basically just an Arkham game, but there's a lot better investigation stuff. The combat is much cooler. The combos are much cooler. And it's Batman, dude. It's awesome. And it gets a little more weird in terms of a little more esoteric in terms of the villains and stuff they've selected for it, because you're really expanding that Batman universe. So I am excited about Batman Arkham Origins. I'm glad you brought it up, Sam. Payday 2, that's kind of a big one on Steam. It seems like kind of one that a lot of people have been talking about, at least on the Reddits. I don't know. It seems pretty interesting. Robin Banks and all that.
Yeah, everyone seems to be having fun with that. I couldn't understand a word he said.
Oh, are you serious?
The background noise of his functioning democracy. It really threw me off.
Oh, man. Politicists.
Exactly.
Right? That's the name of my new podcast. It's a political podcast, Politicist My Ass. All right, here we go.
It really rolls off the tongue, just like Bethlehemsburger.
Exactly. All right, we got one more from JR, newlywed JR from Philly, finally called in once again, so here he is.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JR from Philly. I want to say thanks for the Detto a couple weeks ago. Happy to be part of the club. Had an awesome wedding. I'm going to throw a couple more pictures up on the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. And I heard last week Johnny Droz gave you a little bit of info on that Brewdogs show. Give you a little mini review on it. So it's on the Esquire network, which used to be G4. And so it's these two guys from Scotland, I guess. And it's each week they're going to a different city. The episode that I watched, they were actually in San Diego. And they were visiting Stone. So that was pretty cool. They were hanging out with the founder of Stone Brewery. They give you a little bit of highlight of some great brew pubs in the area, some great breweries in the area, and then they brew a unique beer to the location. So they wanted to do the ultimate San Diego IPA, and they wanted to get some of the sea flavor in there, so they actually used some kelp that they went out on surfboards and grabbed that crap out of the ocean. And they got like a really super hot chili pepper to put in there. And I think the third thing they threw in there was rosemary. So all of that stuff was actually like pretty cool, pretty interesting. I'm on board with all of it until, like you said, Jesse, brewing can be extremely tedious and boring. So they try and spice it up by doing the brew in a new and unique way. So they actually like retrofitted some old train car and they brewed while they were like riding a train up to Los Angeles and back. And that part felt a little gimmicky to me. But if you can get past that, it's a pretty good show. Pretty enjoyable. I'd highly recommend at least giving it a try and see what you think. And so, hey, that's what I got to say for this week. Thanks again. And next week, I'm going to a pumpkin beer festival in Philadelphia. They have this place called the Institute. They're going to have over 80 different pumpkin beers, which is going to be the largest pumpkin beer festival in the world, according to the Institute, I guess. So I'll give you a report back on what's good from there. And get off my bizzack. Later.
Get off my bizzack, JR.
That beer sounds disgusting.
I know, dude. Kelp
and
a beer.
Kelp pepper?
Oh. Earthy.
Ugh.
Earthy.
No, thank you.
JR, thanks so much. I bet you that show's online if it's on former G4. Maybe I'll check out an episode to see what it's all about. And also, once again, congratulations on the wedding. And JR, yeah, made a special homebrew and then made special labels for the beer for his wedding. Very swanky. Mm.
Yeah, that I did not do for mine. No labeling.
No labeling. Just great beer. Great beer. Great Saison. Okay, let's move on to the little tiny minute roll-off. We got to get the show on the road here. Each of us are going to roll a 20-sided dice, see who gets to speak first on the podcast this week. And I dropped mine on the ground. Sorry about that. here we go. Ugh. I rolled a 3.
I think that Russell Nisha may have made off with my D20.
Uh-oh.
Now that I'm looking for it. So I'm just gonna pick a random number between 1 and 20, and I'm gonna go with 2.
All right. Well, I've got the dungeon...
Oh, shit!
I've got the dungeon dice roll here. I'm gonna roll it for you. Because okay. I couldn't roll the die that I just rolled. That would be weird, right?
That's impossible.
You rolled a 12.
All right. All right. Well, that brings me to my first topic here. And I don't know if we necessarily have a theme song for it, so I'm just going to make one up. Other. Miscellaneous. News in the news.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to put some like drums to that.
All right. So this is a story that I love. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that makes me super excited for getting old. Now, don't get me wrong. I was already plenty excited for getting old.
Okay.
I can't wait to be grouchy and get away with it and have, like, basically be filled with sass, but people consider it wisdom. And also to have, like, the spare time to do things that I already love, which is, like,
right.
Reading and sitting around uh-huh. and watching TV. Especially yep. Judge Judy and Maury.
Yeah, you got to get the Jude.
So I'm already really excited about this. Okay. And so old people have become even cooler.
Okay.
Specifically, the greatest generation, World War II veterans. So
right.
World War II veterans recently decided that they're not going to let no government shut down their chances to go to the monument in their honor, a.k.a. the World War II monument in Washington,
right.
D.C.
Right.
So a bunch of World War II veterans went to the monument, and there were all these barricades and signs like, because of the government shutdown, we had to shut down the World War II monument. And they decided, forget that. I got my rascal.
Right.
I got my... my nursing aide, and I'm going to go anyway. And they just went right in that monument and took in the splendid wonder
right.
of the national monument in their very own honor.
Exactly.
And this is like the greatest kind of protest, because there's nothing you can say to them.
It totally did.
It's a check and mate.
So much of a check and mate. First of all, they're old.
Right? Yeah, so what are you going to do anyway?
You're not going to pepper spray a vet in a wheelchair. That's not going to happen, guys. It's not going to happen. Not on my watch.
Not on, well, technically no one has the watch right now.
Right.
So.
No one has a watch. yeah, I mean,
but
this is bulletproof.
I'm so stoked for this. It makes me feel shitty because, like, by the time these people were my age... They had already been through, like, 3 years of the Pacific campaign.
Dude, it's crazy.
And, like, stormed Iwo Jima yeah. and Anna Wytok and Okinawa.
Right.
and gotten married.
Probably had like 6 kids.
Yeah, exactly. And got a job at Boeing.
And got a job that paid them a living wage so that they could support themselves on a single parent income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
But regardless, I'm living vicariously through them, and they're heroes to me right now. I just love this kind of moxie. I'm so excited in the future to be able to do stuff like this.
You're gonna look for opportunities to be.
I just don't have the moral authority to do it at this point. But I feel like when I'm old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, who's to say? Who's to say these were actually veterans?
It's like our discussion last week. Like, who's to say you're a Harvard dropout?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you have to do to qualify?
Who's to say you're a Harvard veteran? Yeah.
What do you have to do to qualify as a Harvard dropout?
Mm-hmm. if you just look at my iPhone for a second, I'll show you some photos I took on Normandy Beach. That Jeez. Ought to shut you up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about this. This whole government shutdown thing has gotten all of Facebook astir.
It's true, man.
Everyone's talking politics right now. It's
right?
pretty exciting. And I just love to see... Here's the difference of the generations. Like, young people will storm Facebook. World War II veterans, we're going to storm the World War II monument.
I love it, dude.
And like you like to say, 90% of doing something is doing something. And
right?
these guys are doing something. I'm really excited about it.
Absolutely, man. I love it. You got to commend these guys. First of all, the generation, dude. Like, I've recommended this so many times, but watch The War, the documentary, mm-hmm. The War, the Ken Burns documentary. It's so good because you literally get a feel for, like, the way that the country pulled together in the time of World War II, it will never pull together like that ever again. I could never see it pulling together like that ever again. Like, literally, every young person went and signed up for the military voluntarily. Like, yes, there was a draft, but most people were clamoring to get into the military. Like, recruitment
right.
stations were flooded with people. And then
right.
you had, you know, the workforce at home. You had, you know... basically, everybody coming together, everybody who couldn't go to war was coming together, building tanks. You know, it was a great time for women who had been less than 20. It had been like 20 years since they got the right to vote.
Yeah, that's
right?
insane.
It's insane. And like, and then they just stepped in and they built the tanks and the airplanes and all that shit. And then also
and
everybody.
The boats.
Yeah. And then everybody was rationing everything, too. Gladly mm-hmm. rationing. Getting everything that was metal in your house and throwing it into a recycle bin to turn into a tank. Like, it was a crazy time when the country pulled together. It was an awful time for Japanese Americans. so I'm not saying everything was great, but...
They came together, not of their own free will.
Right.
But they did come together.
Oh, God. Yeah, there was also some bad stuff that came out of it. But yeah, like, this is the greatest generation. And if I lived through that, I would be so pissed at all this shit.
I would be
like,
pissed off.
There's no
you.
Reason
like,
why.
You...
There's no wonder why old people are so fucking cranky. Like, are you joking? Like,
I'm
we
also...
literally saved the world. We saved the fucking world. And they are like the last generation that can say that happened.
That's true. I'm getting to that age now where there's people in authority positions who are younger than me.
Mm hmm.
And I'm just like, fuck you. Like, no, I'm not going to listen to you.
I wonder about that. Because I...
Going through all of this and have the president is younger than you.
Right.
I mean, it starts with athletes.
It does, because that's where we're at right now, right? Like,
right, but it's also to the point where, like, you might get a doctor younger than you.
Yeah, that's true. But they'd be a good doctor. Like, most people are doing the residencies around 30.
Yeah.
But like,
or cop though, like the guy that pulls
you over. Oh, the cop for sure. The cop for sure. Yeah,
be younger than you. But imagine everyone's younger than you, and you've been through all of this, and they're like, "We can't get the government to work." Like,
shut up,
God, you stupid jackasses! Get it together.
Fuck you!
I did not storm Normandy for this to happen in America.
Oh man, yeah, it's there's so much that yeah, it's got like no wonder why old people are cranky, and then you have people like I really wonder what like the baby boomer generation now they're getting up there. Like honestly, the greatest generation is dying off.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like we're getting up to the point where you're going to have just a very small group of actual World War II veterans around. Like, I don't know. We'll see what happens, and I don't know what kind of old cranky guy I'm going to be, but I'll find something to complain about. That's something I was thinking about. It's like, you know, as bad as shit gets, and as cranky as old people get in saying, you know, it was always better when I was younger. Like it, like. Right now is that time for us. Like, when we get older, we'll say, well, you know, when I was younger, things were really great. So that makes me really worried about where things are going.
I don't think that it's like things are worse. It's just things were simpler.
Yeah, that's true.
Life is so fucking complicated.
That's true, man.
And it's just getting more and more complicated. It almost is going to, like, it's going to get to a point where our minds literally cannot process how complicated it is to be alive, and then it's gonna like slingshot back to agrarian days.
Or we're just gonna install more RAM in our brains to process this information, right?
That is possible. That's kind of the beautiful thing about the human mind, is the next generation is always kind of on it.
Right.
Then you kind of like, you scoot your, you put your hover around in reverse and just take it back a few inches and kick the feet up and, I don't know, storm a monument from time to time.
Storm a monument. Or storm a dungeon. Because we're going to be at a lot of old guys playing D&D.
That's going to be great.
Home. Dude, nursing home D&D is going to be fucking sick.
Oh, man. Shit. Am I excited for that?
Can you imagine it? It's going to be like real D&D and then people will actually die. Like, during the campaign.
Guys, we can't all be wizards. I won't play a character under 112.
Oh, man. I love old people.
12 wizards it is.
That's one thing, too. It's like, and then old people get cute when they get old. Like, I don't want to be... Well, no, but you know, it's like then everything you do is sweet, and you're like a nice old person, and like, if you dance, it's really cute. Like, I don't want to fucking... Like, that's what I don't get either. Like, you stormed Normandy, you defended Guadalcanal, and now you're, like, some cute old guy dancing. Like, I'm not fucking cute, I'm a fucking badass soldier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, at what point do you just be like, you know what, I'm done with this badass shtick.
Right, and then you just become the cute old guy.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with cute old guy. No one listens to me anyway, even though I know everything.
Exactly. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know when you get to that point in your life.
Yeah.
It boggles the mind.
It's like the 10,000th time you make a good point and people just disregard you because you're old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck it. I'll just dance. People like it when I dance.
Yeah, fuck it. I've actually got retirement. I don't have to do anything all day. Fuck it.
I gotta take these pills and get drunk every day and play D&D with my best buds.
I'm literally gonna take like 25 drugs that make me feel great.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I just hope that... I feel like... I don't know. This Great Recession thing...
Yeah.
That might give us a little bit of cred.
Oh, no way.
You don't think?
Not a chance.
In the future, I mean, maybe we'll rebound from this and be like the greatest era of prosperity that the U.S. has ever seen.
Right, and then we were the ones who got fucked
exactly.
The earliest
so,
in our
like,
lives.
I had to move in with my parents. And then they're like, Grandpa, oh my God. Tell me more. What was that like?
Dude, they're not going to be like that. They're spoiled fucking grandkids. And I'm going to spoil them more. Oh, man. I'm already getting into the mode.
I can't wait, man. I'm going to get my grandkids so drunk at 16.
Oh, God.
I'm going to be like,
I actually thought about that today.
Grandpa Brewer's got some secrets for you.
I thought about that the other day. I was emptying the dishwasher, and like in our cabinets, we have all of our liquor. And I was like, I'm going to have to fucking lock this shit up at some point in my life. Like, I'm going to have to put lock and key behind my... But like with your kids, right? You're not going to just be like, oh, your friends are over. Why don't you have this whiskey?
Well, I'm not... No, I'm definitely not going to give them whiskey. But if Russell Nisha wants to see what some straight-up vodka tastes like, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a learning experience.
Anyway. Yeah, make sure it goes in and out. That's what my first vodka experience was like.
Really?
Oof. Yeah, that's why I can't drink vodka still. That would happen like over a decade ago, and I still can't drink vodka.
No, I gotta teach Russell Nisha how to brew at like...
Yeah, that's one thing.
17, 18. If she knows how, like, everything about it. I'm just gonna... Right. My philosophy is hyper-education.
Hyper-education.
Teach her too much.
I love it. Okay, let's move on. My first topic this week is going to be games.
Here we go.
Finish him. All right. Well, last week we talked about the first two phases of the Steam announcement. Now we're going to talk about the third one. I kind of called it.
Oh, you totally called it.
Valve announced a Steam controller. So Valve has designed a unique input device for computers and also the new Steam machines called the Steam Controller. So basically, they kind of took a controller and flipped it on its head. It doesn't have any thumbsticks. I'm sure have you seen the pictures of this, Jesse?
Yeah, it looks wacky.
It looks like wacky tobacco. A lot of people say it looks like an owl, which I like.
It does look like an owl.
I love an owl. But basically, it has two track pads on the top, and then it has a touchscreen video monitor in the middle, basically, that they can put new buttons on, kind of like your iPhone, and you'll be able to click the buttons in there. And then it's got the Y, B, A, and X buttons are on either side. So the Y and X buttons are on the left side, and the B and A buttons are on the right side. And then you've basically got... your start and select, and it's something that looks like a space bar down at the bottom. And then you got your triggers on the top, but then you also have triggers that you can use kind of like with the rest of your fingers as you're gripping the controller. Basically, your grip on the bottom will be able to click two triggers on the bottom, which I actually think that's kind of a great idea. But the thing that I really like about it is the haptic feedback. So, of course, we're all used to our rumble packs, which was introduced on the N64.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? Who doesn't love play GoldenEye 64 with a rumble pack? Or, oh man, Star Fox, do a barrel roll. And you have to buy it separately and then like plug it in. And then you fight over whichever controller had the rumble pack. And it was a great time.
Yeah, it wasn't cheap either.
We stormed the beaches of rumble packs. This, instead of having the rumble pack, it has more of a haptic feedback. So basically it has electromagnets in it. And I don't exactly understand what this means or how they pull this off. But they're saying instead of just rumbling, you can actually get tactile feedback on the track pads. So it feels like you're actually touching things in the game, which is kind of interesting, but also kind of strange. Like, I don't know how that feels if it's just on your thumbs. But apparently, yeah, it's more of a visceral feedback within the pad itself. But the thing that I really enjoy about this is, not only does it, it works with SteamOS, and they're saying it'll work with every Steam game. So basically, they're trying to take all of the functionality of a keyboard and cramming it into a controller. And it's Steam, so they have a good track record up to this point. There's no reason why we should doubt that they have been able to do this. But the other thing that I like about it is that it rethinks the gamepad, because basically since the N64 came out, all gamepads have basically been the same. It's like you've got two thumbsticks, you have a D-pad, and then you have four buttons, which is basically just... And then you have your triggers, and it's basically just a playoff of the Super Nintendo controller, but with
right.
with thumbsticks instead of just a regular D-pad. So
well,
the
addition of the second one was pretty big.
Right. Especially like, first time you're playing Halo. But that was, the original PlayStation had the dual thumbsticks, didn't it?
Yes.
I think so. So that was probably the first one that had that. But the thing that I like about this is that they just rethought it from the ground up, and like I said, you trust Valve, you trust the... you trust their efforts. You trust what they say when they say you could play this with every Steam game or every computer game. And it looks really cool. I definitely want to get my hands on this thing. literally.
Yeah,
right.
Good one.
And I love the ability also to have a bunch of different buttons associated. So the middle screen in the middle, you can put a bunch of custom buttons in there, but then also the screen itself is clickable. So you have that visceral feedback of actually clicking a button when you select whatever is on there. So you could scroll through commands and then actually click the button. I think it's really cool.
I'm just going to put the rage quit button on that one.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's just going to say in bright red letters, fuck this. It boots me out.
It's basically what the middle button on a Xbox controller is.
That's true.
I've got that down. Like, I've got the, like, I'm losing by 24 points in Madden, and I'm just going to rage quit this thing right now.
No, I'm not so good at Madden now, are you, Eric?
Well, there are some people, as I'm playing an online game.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. I guess yours truly.
But I'll just read this. This is from Polygon. According to Valve, the Steam controller trackpads are sensitive enough to allow entire genres of games that have until now been playable only with a keyboard and mouse, such titles strategy games, simulators, and other cursor-driven experiences, to be played on a couch with a controller, and games like first-person shooters will benefit from the finer control that the trackpads offer. And they also offer physical feedback. Read this. To remedy that issue, Valve built the Steam controller with what it characterizes as a very precise level of haptic feedback that goes beyond the comparatively simple vibration mechanism that's common in existing gamepads. The Steam controller's linear resonant actuators, which sounds like something from The Time Machine and Back to the Future, one attached to each trackpad, are capable of delivering a wide range of force and vibration, allowing precise control over frequency, amplitude, and direction of movement. The devices can also function as speakers. Are you joking? The trackpads are also speakers. That's awesome. Oh, man. And the other thing that I love about this is there are zero motion controls associated with this console.
Ah, coming from Mr. Kinetic. Connect.
Yeah. Mr. Kinetic is my Spider-Man villain name. Jesse, I just wanted to ask you, I just want to float this to you. If you were to create a controller, are there any special things that Valve hasn't covered that you would like associated with a controller?
The other week we were talking about how much I love the old ball scroll mouse.
Right.
So maybe instead of those two indented things for your thumbs, mm-hmm. if I could just have two ball scroll mice. Two of the balls, you know?
Yeah.
For my hands to wrap around the balls.
Yeah, put your thumbs right on those balls.
I think I would like that when it starts to vibrate.
Spin them around. Yeah. Well, I think it'd be cool if you had the trackballs, but then they also had they were also video screens. So then you could spin them and then get to a button, and then you could click the buttons on the balls.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Ball pad.
I like that.
Yeah. Other than a cup holder, I think that Steam pretty much has this thing covered.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this, because there are a lot of games, like, you can't play it without the mouse and the keyboard.
Right.
And it's really cool to be able to get rid of that and make it so... I mean... Yeah, I think we're due for a revolution in controller design.
Absolutely.
Could be it.
It needs to be thought from the ground up. One thing that I would really like is I think that controllers are maybe too dependent on your thumbs. And...
Well, they're getting the clickies in the back.
Right, but they have the clickies on the back, but instead of having one clicky for each hand on the back, I'm saying
it should
have
be one for each finger.
Yeah, one for each finger, so that the
there
whole thing
six.
Is clickable.
Pinky's not included.
Okay, no pinky. Yeah, I like that. The last one will be kind of big, so you can click it with your ring finger and pinky.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. And then
yeah, I like that a lot.
And I also really want, like a firearm, actually have the little clip on the front so you're sliding
ring.
Your fingers into the ring. Because that just makes it feel cool.
That would be cool.
Right.
Then you could have proper trigger discipline when you're handling your remote control.
Yeah.
Get your finger off the trigger! Put it on the safety guard.
But, I mean, that's the whole thing that I don't really like is if you could transfer the X, the Y, the Z, and the B buttons to the back instead of having them on the front, then your front is only, it's only thumb movement, right? And then you could use the back buttons to click, you know, your
grenades
and stuff.
Well, there should be, like, two thumbs I guess your index fingers are on triggers.
Right.
But, like, by the thumbs, there should also be at least one other button that you can slide off of it and mm-hmm. hit that button.
Well, if the thumbsticks are clickable, though.
That's true.
You got click, click, and then you got click, 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 click on the back.
I guess it depends on how many total buttons you need on your controller.
Do you remember, like, way back when we started talking to Blue Yonder and
I was just about to bring this up, and they did a thing about mice for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm just having a little bit of deja vu right now from a Blue Yonder podcast.
Literally about to bring that up and say that maybe we should go to break.
I think we should. Oh, Jesse, great minds.
First, let's talk about Audible.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Audible.com, guys. I don't know if you know this, but books are real.
What?
The problem. I thought that they were only online.
Look, I picked up a book recently. It was so heavy.
Super heavy. But guess what? Other people, you can pay people to read books to you. That can be expensive.
Is that when you like sound out the squiggles?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I can't do that.
Exactly. But you could pay them to come to your house and read to you. But that's expensive. Mm. Or you could just go to audible.com, get a free audiobook. People actually read this shit in the microphones and record it.
Oh, Stars Above.
Stars Above. New title from J.P. Lovecraft, great-great-grandson of H.P. Lovecraft. pretty good book that our listeners might be interested in. Audible.com/Stars Above. All right. Let's do some trivia, Jesse. What do you say?
I agree.
Okay, I'm going to roll a six-sided dice, see which Trivial Pursuit category we're going to be doing. It's a five, Science and Nature. Jesse has questions for you. Listener, please play along at home. How many days will it be before a clock losing 30 minutes a day shows the right time again?
30 minutes a day. It should be 24 days, right? Or is it going to be 23 days?
I'm going to go 48 days. 24 days.
God,
oh, because, well, see, this is the problem, is that...
You were in military time.
I was military time, and I was also on a digital clock. On an analog clock, it's 24. But I guess we both got it wrong.
We did both get it wrong. See, I just went to negatives. I was like, at what time is it negative 5 o'clock? Never!
It's never negative 5 o'clock. All right. Just these questions for me. Please play along at home. What trees are commonly found in English churchyards? What? What kind of question is this? What trees are commonly found in English churchyards? I'll go with an olive tree.
I'll go with a heart tree. Just kidding. I'll say... chestnut.
It's a yew tree. Yew tree. We're really knocking it out of the park with this show. Okay, here we go. Jesse, this question's for you. What kind of poisoning is known as plumbism?
Oh, it's definitely lead.
Yeah, damn it. Plumbus, man. You got it. Lead Plumbus. Poisoning. All right, this question for me. I need it to tie. Please play along at home. What toe is the foot reflexology pressure point for the head? What toe is the foot reflexology pressure point for the head?
What toe is the head?
What toe is the foot reflexology pressure point for the head? I'm going to go with the big toe.
I guess I'll say I don't know the names of the toes.
Yeah.
The middle, the index toe.
It's the big toe. It's the only toe with a name, right? You got big toe, pinky toe.
There's a pinky toe.
Right. There's no middle toe. Give him the toe.
Dude, it sucks to be a foot.
It does suck to be a foot.
At one point, you were a magnificent hand.
Right.
And then you got stood on stunted. And smashed and deformed and stunted to the point where we don't even give names to your digits anymore.
Right. You used to have a thumb. Now it's all just basically fingers. Right? On your foot. Stunted fingers.
And the big toe's the only one we care about, and the pinky toe. Those three in the middle. Total enigmas.
Total enigmas. All right. So that means we go to a geography tiebreaker. who is ever geographically closest to the answer wins. Jesse, you get to answer first. What city's main thoroughfare is O'Connell Street?
Let's just go with Dublin.
I'm going to go with the Dublin of America and say Boston.
Boston?
Dublin, you got it.
All right.
You win everything this week, J-Dog. So what's our second topic?
Well, it's time for the triumphant return of Is It Worse Than a Punch in the Face?
Is it worse than a punch in the face? Great job.
That was punch sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a segment where I bring up certain things.
Okay.
And Eric gets to decide if the scenario I've presented is better or worse than being punched in the face by a guy in Anchorage, Alaska, who's high on bath salts.
Exactly.
So, my first one is something that's kind of been irking me.
Okay. It's been irking your jerking?
Irking and jerking. Is it worse than a punch in the face than get into a stupid internet argument?
Oh, that is so worse.
I have totally brought this up.
Yeah.
Before.
I've got a couple of these this week, man.
Eric and I are dwellers.
It's true.
Aaron accused me of being a dweller. Because, like, when shit happens, we think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It just, like, chafes me throughout my day. Because I'm just kind of thinking about it. And it's, like, such a waste of energy. And, like, there's no reason, like, the stress that you put on yourself over something so stupid, and you know it's stupid, but it still makes me mad. And I got in one of these internet arguments on, surprise, surprise, Reddit.
Wow, I thought you were done with Reddit.
Dude, now I'm done with Reddit.
Okay.
This was the last straw.
Okay.
I got in an argument on r/beer porn.
Okay.
Because I had the audacity to say that, so the post was like, there's this beer, and it has a warning on it that says, warning, may contain whole hops. And it was a picture of a guy who was like had like a hop cone that he pulled out of this bottle of beer.
Okay.
And I was like, this is such bullshit. This is a stupid, cheap gimmick. Like, it's disingenuous.
Uh-huh.
There's no way that a hop cone could make it from kettle to bottle in a modern brewery. It's just impossible.
Right.
They put it in there. It's a cheap gimmick, and I got all sorts of shit. I got downvoted to hell. And a guy said that I was a fearmonger. He called me a fearmonger.
Fearmonger. Inappropriate comments.
And it, yeah,
it's not inappropriate. It's just not. It's so ineffectual. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I was just saying it was bullshit, and then they're like, blah blah blah. You know, beers are really good when you put the hops in the bottle. Blah blah blah. It's like, actually, you can over dry hop things, and it leads to off flavors. And I said that, and the guy was like, citation needed. And I was like, okay, so I actually went to the Joy Home.
Why are you buying
into it, but I actually cited it and told it. I went to a brewing tome, sacred tome, and like quoted Charlie Papazian, who's one of the most prolific brewers in the American craft beer movement. And he's like, oh, well, does he cite where he's getting that from? Like, fucking guy, this isn't a fucking research paper. And then he called me a fearmonger twice.
I love the fearmonger. I'm just going to start calling you that when I get pissed off at you.
I'm on it now. Now I'm owning it. I am the fearmonger.
So one of the things that you are very good at with me is when we're playing a board game, and especially a board game in which alliances are needed in order to win, aka Battlestar Galactica or Game of Thrones, or to a lesser extent, Settlers of Catan in the trading mechanism, you always get under my skin when you like try to talk down to me to other players when it's literally like so obvious that you are trying to manipulate them and you're probably going to win. But then there's also this added element that you're It just irks me to no end when you're trying to talk me down within the game.
Like, what do you mean? Like, example?
Like, when we were... I don't know why it irks me so much, because it's really not that bad. But, like, when we were playing Game of Thrones, and you were trying to talk Aeron into going into fighting against me, because you were trying to build me up as some large threat when there was no way that I was a threat in any way. And you were actually the main threat in the game, and you actually won the game. Stuff like that. So this is one that I'm putting in my back pocket, because one of the things that I could bring out is if you got to cheat to win. Like, that's a back pocket for Eric, because I know that irks you just as much.
Yeah, but now I've made that one my own.
Well, I'm wondering if Fearmonger can also go in that back pocket.
Maybe. It would be funny if during Game of Thrones he accused me of being a Fearmonger.
Right, large Fearmonger. Warhawk Fearmonger.
Warhawk Fearmonger was one of the greatest Vikings.
It does sound like a character in Game of Thrones. All right. So what did you? So this is obviously worse than a punch in the face. Why did you engage with these? I mean, the thing is that you are the expert.
Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Is because I'm an expert, I feel like I should talk about. And also, you get to a fucking point where you don't need to cite shit because you you know.
Yes.
It's like he's approaching it from a point of view where, like, everything can be cited back to some sort of primordial inherent truth from which all knowledge springs.
Exactly.
Ugh, yeah. The guy's Canadian too, which is even worse.
How do you even know that? Did you cyberstalk this guy?
I fucking
obsessed. Oh my god.
I obsessed.
Wow.
I know, it's bad. It's bad. This is why I need to be dumb for my own sake.
Well, this is another thing. So, like, on Reddit this week, this research group, this graduate student group from New York, was there for their graduate student project. They were putting together a proposal to get an NHL team in Seattle. So they posted on R Seattle and said, "What should we name this NHL team?" Mm-hmm. The number one comment on there was saying, "Well, they should be named the Seattle Metropolitans, because the Metropolitans were actually an actual team in Seattle in the early 1900s, and they won 2 Stanley Cups." So
they won two.
Yeah, they won two.
Wow, good for them.
They're printed on the Stanley Cup. So if the Seattle ever gets a team, they should be called the Metropolitans. But, this is what the comment said, but if they aren't named the Metropolitans, my vote is for the Seattle Sockeyes.
What?
And I was like, that's my thing. That is my thing. Right? Is that not my thing? Go back
That's my thing.
That's my thing.
I came up with this.
Oh, come on. If you got to cheat to win, dude.
See, now you're just fucking with
Seattle Sockeye was my thing.
Are you being serious?
I can't
tell if you're trolling me
right
now. No,
I am being completely serious.
It was totally my thing.
Oh, my God. I think there's a record of this. We've talked about this on the podcast. But
I think so. Someone dig it up, because I'm 100% sure.
This is totally
just
my
thing. Just like hops and suspension being nasty and gross.
This is my...
I'm 100%
But regardless,
sure it's
first
me.
Of all, it's a Seattle Sockeye, right?
Yeah,
not Seattle
you don't
Sockeyes,
pluralize it.
Because the plural of Sockeye is Sockeye.
Is Sockeye, yeah.
And then I posted that, downvoted into oblivion, multiple people saying it's Sockeyes. I was like, this is my thing, guys. Come on. Anyway.
Except that it's my thing.
But that's the thing. It's like, even if you are the expert in this field, you can't. Everyone has a level playing field on the internet. It doesn't matter what your expertise
exactly.
is.
Yeah, exactly. This is
just
I'm
everyone
done with
is
the,
assholes.
This is why I'm done with the internet, is because I just don't think it's possible to have a fucking conversation with a human being without actually looking at them. We're not wired for it.
That's true. And it's the thing is that everybody thinks that you're an asshole and you think everyone else is an asshole. Like, the second that you start reading an internet comment, the first thought in your head before you read the first word is asshole.
Mm, yeah.
Asshole says. Yeah, right? Anyway, that's also a common phrase in Ace Ventura movies.
Yeah.
What's your next punch in the face?
Definitely worse than the punch in the face. Yes. So my second worse than a punch in the face. And this is something I don't know if you have any experience with. Although you were a dog owner growing up.
That's true.
My wife's dog is in heat.
Oh, my Lord.
And it's really, really annoying.
Is she not spayed?
No, she's got all of her goodies.
See, we Bob Barkered our dog.
See, that's a good call.
Yeah.
We haven't done that. She's in heat, and so now she's like super emotional.
We told her the price is wrong, bitch, because she is a female dog.
Also, the closing line in Breaking Bad turns out.
Yeah.
So my dog is really emotional, and she's like moping around the house, and then she's like humping the squeaky toys in secret.
Oh God! Yeah, you can't do that.
Exactly. It's really comical because you just hear squeak, 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 squeak.
Well,
but the worst part is there's another dog in the house who's like a 12-year-old, like old lady dog.
Yeah.
So Ollie, the dog who's in heat, is like she keeps like prancing up in front of her with her tail up.
Okay.
And then just like kind of sticking her rump in her face.
Ugh.
Just be like, hey, you want some of this? So then I have to yell at her, like, Cassie doesn't want any. Get out of it. And then she gets all mopey and sad.
Yikes.
It's been going on for like 10 days now.
Well, you know, the thing about this is that it's a dog and it's an animal. It's an animal, and it's going to have animalistic feelings just like any human will have.
And that makes me sad because I'm like, it'd be nice if I could just get the dog laid, but it's like, I can't do that.
Just take it to a doggy dating site. Take it to a doggy swingers club.
Ollie's not just any dog. She's like 10 pounds.
I'm sure there's some Craigslist for that.
Well, she needs a gentle lover, for one. And two, I'm not just going to give her over to some, like, chihuahua.
What? Purebred?
No. It has to be, like, a Yorkie, like a purebred Yorkie or nothing.
This has gotten super creepy. This took a turn for the creepy.
So it is worse than a punch in the face.
Yeah, definitely worse than a punch in the face, but also par for the course if you're going to bring animals into your home.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Number three on my list here is having the crud.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like cold season going around. I pick something up, but I don't have a cold.
Right.
I just have like sore throat, headache, like stomach ache.
Yeah.
Well, none of them are like super bad standing alone, but kind of a combination.
Uh-huh.
But like if you get a cold, it's like, oh, he has a cold. So whatever.
Right.
But if you just kind of feel like shit, like...
Worst.
You kind of, like... You can't just be like, I feel gross, guys.
Well, if you have a sore throat, I mean, that's grounds
for... Is that good enough?
That's grounds for sick day.
But really?
You can't do it for a long time, so you got to, like, choose your day, right?
Right.
I mean, that's just the shitty part, is, like, I can go to work today, but I will feel shitty all day long. And like when I get that 2 o'clock feeling, it's going to be even worse.
For that 5 hour energy.
Right. It's going to be even worse. Or I could just lay at home, but I'm not really too sick to lay at home. I'm going to be miserable either way. So you have to like pick your poison there.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I've had that like twice already. I had like twice in September.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, it's kicking up right now. I'm actually taking tomorrow off.
Yeah, just
even
do
though
it.
I'm not like sick, but it's like I just kind of need a day off to recover.
Well, and that's a huge part of it. First of all, you do a job where you need to be alert or
right
physically and mentally alert. And second of all, don't get your coworkers sick.
Mm,
like that's a huge thing that like I'm the type of person where I like wake up in the morning, I'm a little sick, and I'm like, well, I should go to work, you know? And I'm sure you heard too. It's like, you got the work ethic, you just got to go to work, right?
Right.
But like, at the same time, you're not doing your coworkers any favors by making them sick.
It does suck when your coworker comes in, like, oh, I think I'm coming down with something. It's like, well, get the hell away from me.
Go away from me. Yeah. Well, that is bad. You have any more?
No, that's it. That's my worst than a punch
in
the face.
So all worse than a punch in the face, in my opinion.
Especially internet arguments. Oh, God, I'm so...
Yeah, just stop it.
It's just like I want to be able to properly tell you to fuck off, and I can't.
He's probably a 16-year-old Canadian with nothing better to do.
Here's the thing. When I was stalking him, he posted a picture, and he was like, this is me in Norway on my vacation. I'm like, you don't deserve to go to Norway. You should be suffering in Ontario.
Coming from a Norwegian.
I want to be in Norway. I wish I was in Norway.
You when are...
What is this jack-off who knows nothing about dry hopping get to be in Norway?
I don't understand how you can even be in the sun at all. Like, you're Norwegian, Irish, Australian.
Yeah, you know, I think something weird happened when my ancestors spent a couple generations in Australia. Because it was Irish-Norwegian, but then, like, I actually do tan up kind of okay, and I think it's because of their, like, epigenetics that were triggered just from being in Australia.
Oh, man. Well, good on you, I guess.
Thank you.
All right. For my second topic this week, I'm going to talk about a little thing on Kickstarter. Now, you might think I'm talking about the Bald Move Kickstarter, which is going on right now for Watching Dead. You can check it out. It's on baldmove.com, and you can pledge your support toward baldmove.com by clicking on that. That's only going on for another 11 days or so, so be sure to get on there while you're there and support Aaron and Gino. But I'm talking about the Reaper Miniatures Bones 2, The Return of Mr.
Oh,
Bones.
Shit, is that going on?
It's going on.
I'm going there right now.
10,078 backers. Now, the thing with this is that they have a kind of a wide range of pledge. Basically, you can either pledge $1 or you can pledge $100. But they also have...
Shit, they've made a lot of money.
Yeah. So this went live, I think, yesterday. And they already have $1.18 million.
Damn, of their goal? $30,000.
Yeah, $30,000. But they also... I mean, you get... If you pledge at the $100 level, which is the core set level, you're going to get more figures than you can paint in a year. Like, you're going to get a ton of figures.
Like, how many are we talking here?
So the core set starts off with 24 figures. Then the stretch goal stretched it even more. So you got 24, looking like you got another 50 here, and then another, what is that? That's 6, and then it's, you're probably looking somewhere between 150 to 175 figures.
Nice.
For $100. And these are all... I should talk about what this is. These are miniatures that you can paint. You know, we talked about paint and take at PAX. And this is like... And it's everything under the sun. You know, of course, all your fantasy stuff. But then you have wildlife. You have, like, bears and wolves. And then you have, like, heroes. You have dungeon decor. You have guys, like, Wild West guys. You have... Dragon hatchlings. There's like everything under the sun, and I really like painting the Bones miniature stuff. I think that it's good, and it's kind of flexible, which some people don't like, but I like that because if you want to store it somewhere, you don't really have to worry about the rigidity of it as much.
Yeah, that's one thing about a lot of minis, and they have some big ones that are just one piece.
Yeah.
As soon as you put glue to it, like, expect it to fall off every time you fucking move it.
Yeah. So over 10,000 backers right now. And the reason why they have the $1 level is because they also have options.
Oh my god, have you seen these little, like, rat dudes?
Yes.
Those are so cute!
So there's the Mouselings option, and the Mouselings will go along with Mice and Mystics, which is a mouse board game. Adventure board game that's come out. But not only do they have that, they also have the rats. They have the Skaven, basically, which is a $10 option. You can pledge $11 and you get the full Skaven, which I am very excited about.
Dude, you've seen the Unleash the Kraken option.
Yes, the Unleash the Kraken option.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
For $15, a gigantic Kraken.
I think I'm going to get that.
There's also like a couple dragon options, which are huge.
The Skaven are really sick.
I know, right? And you get a rat ogre with it, and then also the gelatinous cube option, which I think is super awesome.
These heroes and villains are sick too. Yeah. Oh my god, there's some.
Yeah, water elementals. You have giant hill giants, which are really cool. You have these crazy demons, like this awesome stuff. Like, it's huge. Like. If you, and then there's also these expansions. So if you want to add $50, then you can get an extra, you know, ton of giant stuff. So you could spend a lot of money here, but also you're going to get huge value out of this. Like, getting over 100 miniatures for $100 is an insane value. Like, if you want to just get an instant collection of a ton of miniatures. And like I said, this is like basically as many miniatures as you could paint in a year. Like, unless you're really going at it really hardcore. So,
yeah. Man, this is so sick.
Yeah, and this is the second time they've done this, and it's huge. Like I said, it's been on for like a day or two, and it's already got over $1 million. And these are the guys who do Paint and Ticket packs. They sponsor Paint and Ticket packs. They give away a bunch of these miniatures there so that people can get into the painting habit. And like I said, when we were at PAX, I did Paint and Take 3 times. Like, it is a great thing. And I love my Owlbear. The finished product turned out really, really cool. So support Bones. It's the Bones 2 on Kickstarter. If you want to get some, if you want to get into miniature painting, this is the way to do it. It's a really fun activity, and you get some cool little minis, and then you can use them in your games. You can use them, there's a lot of board games that you can apply these guys to, or if you're playing a D&D campaign, like, you could just apply these to that. The possibilities are endless. If you want to be a nerd, you should get in the painting minis, and you should get on the Bones 2 miniature Kickstarter. Is that enough?
Yeah, that's enough. I'm on my Kickstarter here.
I know.
I have a message.
Oh, interesting.
From one of my Kickstarter projects here, and they're saying thank you and stuff.
Ooh.
And then it's at the end here. It says thank you again, Jesse. I look forward to getting you those bookmarks, because that's what I bought. Enjoy your weekend, and great stash, by the way.
Oh, hello. Personalized message.
Yeah. Katie Donahue.
Hello.
Apparently admiring the mustache in my profile picture.
Well, maybe you should send her a picture of your wedding ring, sir.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because complimenting a man on his mustache definitely means I want to marry him.
Out of line. Okay.
First time punch in the face. That's really cool. I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, I want to bring that to our listeners' attention. It's got 23 days to go, and if you want to get into painting, this is like, it's a reco, it's a topic. Can you just give us...
It's a lot of figurines.
Right.
I would really, really like that, but still, a hundo is kind of a lot of money.
It's $100, but it's like the value is there. And that's the thing, like the last one that they did, they had different levels, but... Basically, for this one, it's like it's either $100 or you're buying individual figure sets, which is great. I mean, the Mouselings option is good. $10, and you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Mouselings.
Yeah. Like, that Kraken is pretty sweet.
The Kraken is awesome, and I want the Skaven so bad.
You and your squirrels.
Yeah, dude. I want to paint these Skaven and then put them in the Blood Bowl. Like, that Rat Ogre is awesome.
Yeah, the Mouselings, I mean, you could run a Halfling team and... With those Mouseling figurines.
Totally.
That'd be sweet.
Oh, man. Well, unless we geek out too much, can you just give a quick overview of why you like painting minis so much?
I mean, it's like a Zen type thing. It's a great leisure activity. For one, like, I was into the games. I got into Warhammer pretty young, and like, I actually got into D&D when I was like 13. So D&D, you get one figure that represents you on the battlefield. So it's like picking out that one figure that's like perfect for your guy and then painting it up and like trying to make it look really nice. It's like a showcase for the game. It's a lot of fun.
Right.
And then I got into other mini games and
Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl is what got me. That's the first time I ever painted miniatures. And I painted them with, like, model car paint, so they're all metallic looking.
Yeah. Yours are pretty good, though. I mean, for a first time.
Yeah. I had a ton of fun with it. And, like I said, Paint Take is just so great. It is really, like, a super zen activity.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you can just, like, put on a podcast and focus on it.
Right.
And, yeah.
So
that's a lot of fun. The thing about painting miniatures is, like, when you go to, like, a Warhammer Grand Tournament and people have, like, tournament-level paint jobs on their armies...
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, like, fucking breathtaking. Like, this is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous and intricate and amazing and creative. It's like, what a fucking waste. Like, you should be doing fine art. Like, doing this nerdy shit is a waste.
Oh, man.
Well, sometimes it gets to a point where, like, like, you need to take this to a different venue because your talents are being squandered on this obscure, nerdy thing that obviously you love to do, but man.
If only, like, they still made sculptures like they did in ancient Greece, and then they could hire these guys to come and paint them. Oh, man. But yeah, if like, miniature painting, it is really cool. One of the things prohibitive about miniature painting is the cost of the minis.
Yeah, that's cost of entry and the paint itself.
But that's what Bones does, is they have cheap paints. You can actually get a paint set in this Kickstarter as well.
Yeah, it's like $15 for 12 paints, which is not bad.
Right, and you can get into it at a much more affordable level. So it's a really fun thing to do. I love miniature painting, and I'm probably going to pick up the Skaven because I want them so bad. They're so cool, man. There's one with a pickaxe.
Yeah, like, I like those mouselings.
Like, there's
a
stories
lot.
Associated with these guys. Like, somebody came, one of these Skaven came along, killed a dwarf in a mine, and then stole his pickaxe.
Debatable.
Oh, man. It's awesome. I love it. Bones Miniatures, check it out on Kickstarter. And also check out the Bald Move Kickstarter. Speaking of Bald Move, please check out baldmove.com, guys. So much stuff going on right now. Of course, you've been crying over the Breaking Bad finale. But if you want a ton of analysis, like, you've got four podcasts covering the final episode of Breaking Bad right now up on baldmove.com from your favorite guys, Aaron and Jim. So be sure to check that out. Of course, there's a Because Show up there. We've got Up Yours Downstairs on there. Get Off My Running Back, the new football podcast that I host, is up there. We'll have a new episode up tomorrow. And then we're up there as well. So baldmove.com, guys, go there, do it. It is a great, great community of podcasters, and we're really trying to do the best we can for you guys. So please support us at baldmove.com. And then please keep in touch with us, guys. You can send us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. We're on Facebook. We're on the Bald Move Facebook page, and we're also on the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter @personalpodcast, and you can also rate and review us on iTunes. We have 71 ratings right now, which is really, really great. But if you haven't rated us yet, guys, it is the easiest thing you can do to support our show. Just go on iTunes, find us, and click that rate and review. And that moves us up those boards so that more and more people can find the podcast and a bigger and bigger Personal Arrogance community can get together. Because really, this podcast is about getting your feedback on the show and then talking about it. We're all friends here, and we love meeting new listeners. So if you just go on iTunes, give us a rate and review, that would be awesome. And speaking of our listeners, it's time to do the Facebook Roundup. We gave you really short notice this week. We only gave you 30 minutes, but we got a ton of feedback, which I really, really love. We always post this on Wednesdays, post a thread on Facebook and ask you what do you want us to talk about. Levi, starting it off. Levi says, telling your boss to quit over the phone.
Wait, Eric.
What's that?
We promised we would do last week's Facebook Roundup, too.
Oh, shit. Facebook Roundup.
Mega Roundup.
All right. Well, we'll get to that in a second because I got this week's up. Levi Jetty, buddy Levi, who might lose his quarterback this week when my team crushes him, says, telling your boss to quit over the phone because they're out of town on business. Worse than a punch in the face. It felt like an awful lot like a breakup over the phone. It's a job.
Wait, you're telling that? So did you break up with them over the phone?
Yeah, so Levi called his boss and quit.
Yeah, but he quit because he quit over the phone because they're out of town, or he quit because they were out of town on business. Like,
no, he quit because his boss was out of town on business, so he had to quit over the phone.
So I thought it was, you're out of town on business? I quit. Guess what? I quit.
Ain't nothing wrong about me.
No, that's you kind of got off easy.
It's a job, dude.
And it's better than face-to-face, I guess.
Eh, whatever. It depends on your level of nerddom, I think.
Does that mean he's moving back to Washington?
I don't know. Let us know, Levi. J.M. Baxter says, show on Netflix or like video service you want to watch but keeps getting pushed back by others. The one that I really like, keep hearing great things about Luther, and I really like Idris Elba and like everything he's in, but I've never been able to get around to watching Luther. And now that Breaking Bad is over, I think I'm going to binge watch it on Netflix.
Yeah, I want to watch that. I'm also waiting for that reboot of Frasier that they keep talking about?
Yeah, the blues of Colin.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it. It's actually a prequel reboot of Marty Crane back in his cop days.
I like it, dude.
It's called Colin a Blues. Like they're wearing blue because they're cops.
Dude, that is actually great. That's actually great. Marty Crane on the mean streets of Seattle.
Mm-hmm. And Frasier and Niles are like they're like 15 and 11 or 12.
They're on the debate team. Anyway, Andy Burke says, this is actually very sweet. Andy Burke says, today I'm officially divorced for the second and last time.
Congratulations.
I'm not exactly proud of that, but I am happy to get it behind me and move forward. Having you guys to listen to has been great during the past few months, and I really appreciate you guys. I also got turned onto Session Lager, and for that I'll be eternally grateful. But other than all that, please stay off my back. And Andy, that's very sweet. We're happy that we can give you some. That's got to be a very tumultuous time for you, and we're very happy that we can offer you some respite and some nerdy chatter.
That's cool. I mean, like, there have been times in my life where like things weren't going so great, and I had podcasts to listen to that really helped me out. So
yeah, Blue Yonder podcast was actually a pretty big part of that.
Yeah, Blue Yonder, my brother, and me.
Yeah.
Stuff you should know.
Boop. Josh, sorry, we're going to start crying now. Joshua Canales says, Baba Booey and Get Off My Back from the original Get Off My Back. Is this who it is? This is who it is.
This is it?
I thought that it was Rob Zip, but it's not Rob Zip.
I knew there would be anal in his name.
Josh Canales. Josh from Texas. Josh from Texas, the original Get Off My Back.
There we go. The legend is sealed.
The legend is sealed. Sean Keefe says...
It's out of that hidden temple.
Yeah. Sean Keefe says, the store down the street has got some Full Sail in their Brewfest event. Which one do you prefer? I got some of the Amber Pale and LTD in a mixed pack. Whatever's on LTD, just get that.
Yeah, LTD is good. I love their American Pale. I think it's the best American Pale out there.
Gotta love it. And if they have Session, do that as well. James Patterson says, how about Jesse's job update? Any update, Jesse?
You know, I don't really have anything to say at the moment.
No update is the update. And also, while thinking about the government shutdown, please list the five hottest congressmen. All right, here we go.
John McCain.
Well, I was thinking they don't call him Boner for nothing.
Boner and Wiener are up there.
Wiener's no longer a congressman.
I thought we were talking all time.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Oh, man. Well, it's too many to count, really. I mean, if you're going to get back in the Millard Fillmore days, you got some super hotties.
Uncle alert.
All right, James F. Cubby says, new Hobbit trailer. I'm actually really excited about The Hobbit. I thought that the Hobbit was really good, and I'm excited about the new trailer, man. We're getting very close to Hobbit season, Oscar season, which is also very exciting. All right, now we're going to buzz through last week's Facebook roundup. First off, Levi Reakin says, Fox apparently made a show called Gotham about a young detective, James Gordon. I was a huge fan of Gotham Central, so I'm excited about the prospect. What are your thoughts, and how do you think the show might differ from other detective shows and crime procedurals? Have you heard about this?
Wasn't this your idea?
This was my fucking idea.
This one actually was your idea.
This actually was my idea. And I'm kind of bummed by this, because now if I actually try to do this idea, then people are going to think I'm copying.
You're so derivative,
show.
Eric.
I know, right? But I'm excited to see what happens. But it's Fox, dude. It'll be a fucking procedural. It'll be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I'll be very disappointed with it.
So I was watching a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. commercial.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, don't let it get spoiled. Watch the whole thing. Like, well, that's kind of begging. Like, that's literally what they were said. Like, don't let The Office spoil it for you. Watch the whole episode. was that a problem last week?
Yeah, I don't know. Just at least give us 40 minutes of your time without commercials. Priscilla Torres says, best dressed at the Emmys, definitely John Boehner. Ben Hall says, Australian Football League grand final. Free Heave Ho. Michael Coffey, you guys should watch it if you aren't scared. Then Michael Merriman. Apparently there's this huge Aussie Rules football thing that's going on here. Michael Coffey says, Hawthorne Hawks all the way. Ben Hall says, my most many typos I can be bothered reposting. That's an interesting sentence. Anyway, let's go Fremantle Dockers.
So yeah, I'm a Fremantle guy myself.
You like the Dockers,
I'm pretty
though.
Sure the, I think the Hawks won.
Yeah, but I mean, the Dockers are only good when they're pleated. Like, I don't like unpleated Dock. I don't like the flat front Dockers.
Yeah, you might say they're depleated at the moment.
Michael Barron says, what are your views on the various pumpkin ales? I think we've talked about that. But he recommends the Red Hook Out of Your Gourd Pumpkin Porter. So maybe I'll try
that. There you go.
James Patterson says, Eric, you mentioned following the A's this year in the playoffs. They have the nerd look from their Bernie dance. The Red Sox have their beards. The Pirates have the Zoltan Z hand sign. If you were on a team, what would your gimmick slash look slash hand sign slash theme be? Jesse, I know you hate baseball, but humor is an answer too, please. Thanks. Also, as a father, it was a bit disconcerting to hear my daughter and wife in the same sentence. But then again, didn't you say Aaron Martinez's mom womb was an empty tomb? Thanks. Interesting paragraph there, but I'm actually not, I'm not rooting for the A's. I'm rooting for the Pirates. I'm just saying the A's are a hard team not to like.
So you are rooting for the Pirates.
Yeah, dude, go Pirates, baby.
I'm rooting for the Pirates too.
Why not?
I just thought that maybe your hatred of Pittsburgh would into other sports.
It's not
sports.
A hatred of Pittsburgh. It's a hatred of the Steelers.
You know, I'm not even that mad at the Steelers.
Come on. That's
dude,
because
like,
you weren't a huge fan in 2006, man.
All they did, I wasn't a huge fan of football in 2006.
Right.
All they did was try to win. It's the refs that you should be mad at.
No, I hate the Steelers. I hate them.
But it's the refs that blew the game. It's not the Steelers.
Ugh.
All they did was play the game.
Well, if you were a baseball team, what would your so like, what's your refuse to lose? What's your who let the dogs out?
Mine is,
do you have a particular song?
Give a bunt. Bunt it up. Mine's called the Bunt Cake.
Bunt cakes, baby.
Everyone goes,
I love it.
My stadium thing is right. You bring a freshly baked homemade cake and you share it with the person next to you.
Right.
And it's called the Bunt Cake.
The Bunt Cake.
Exchange.
Playing some small ball, bunting. Bunt Cake.
Also, I have a bunt only strategy.
Only
no
bunts.
Batting, bunt only.
Good idea. Good idea. I'd love to see that shift. Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of the terrible towel, and I don't know why this is awful, though, because that's a Steelers thing.
Yeah, right?
But I like
See,
the
you're
idea...
You're a Steelers fan at heart.
I like the idea of the teal towel. Like, if the Mariners ever made the playoffs, the teal towel. It's teal towel. Also, train conductor hats. Get on the train. Derek Romain says, how about them Bears, huh? I love Seattle, by the way. Only defense as a whole I like better than mine. Oh, so Seattle's the only defense he likes better than the Bears. The Bears, I was
he
very
owns the Bears?
I guess so. The Bears actually are a team that I was very afraid of 2 weeks ago, but then week four they got demolished by the Lions, and I was like, what's the deal, man?
Yeah, they look mortal now. I was actually afraid of them, too. Now I'm afraid of the Saints.
Yeah, I'm afraid of the Saints as well. I think the Saints are looking pretty damn stout, but they're also in a pretty bad division.
Yeah. Well, so are the Seahawks.
Yeah. So that's the giant mega Facebook roundup, guys. Thank you so much for Facebook rounding up us this week. And let's get to recos. Jesse, what's your first reco?
Oh, shoot. My first recommendation. Oh, yeah. I listened to this new podcast the other day, the Rob Zip podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a beer fan.
Yeah.
This is a good one. Rob Zip, he goes to brew festivals. He goes to, like, chili places. He's talking to brewers. He's doing interviews. He's getting in the nitty-gritty. Really good.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, listen to it anyway, but if you're a beer geek like I am, definitely listen to the Rob Zip podcast. Rob Zip and Friends.
Rob Zip and Friends. Yeah, the Rob Zip and Friends podcast. My first.
And you know it's the right one if it has a little zipper on it, which really cracked me up.
That's two B's, two P's, Rob Zip.
Mm-hmm. R-O-B-P-Z-I-P-P.
B-P. I love stepping on the end of your jokes. It's like stepping on the back of your shoes. All right. My first reco this
Except
week.
Funnier.
Yeah, exactly. My first reco this week is going to be Room 237. It's a documentary on Netflix. It's about conspiracy theories surrounding The Shining, the Stanley Kubrick movie The Shining.
Oh, and I've been wanting to watch this. I've read like a bunch of articles about these.
Yeah, it's a great documentary. The only thing is it is super creepy. They made it so creepy because of the music that they use to play behind the interviews. And they also never show the faces of the people that they're interviewing. It's all just straight up footage from the movie. So it is fucking creepy.
Do they do the thing where it's like they alter the voice, like, if you look in the scene?
No, they don't do that. But they do have, like, long periods where it's like, nee! Like, it's like the... so it'll get you. But it's a really interesting show and some pretty interesting arguments in there as well. There's also some pretty far-fetched stuff. But I watched it with my wife, and we both really enjoyed it. So, Room 237, what's your seco reco?
So, mine's concerning another podcast that I like. This is the Get Off My Running Back drinking game.
Okay.
That I'm putting together. I only have two rules so far, uh-huh. But we could grow.
Okay.
You have to take a drink anytime Eric says chopped liver.
Do I say that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you have to take two drinks anytime he says Chip Kelly offense.
Oh, man, that Chip Kelly offense.
But seriously, I really enjoy listening to Get Off My Running Back. Rob Zip was the last guest. I'm looking forward to this next week. I don't know if you want to tease it or not. But
let's just say the Martinez clan might be a part of it.
Someone might be leaving that podcast like an empty tomb for whoever picks up week five.
That's true. No, I'm really excited. We're also really being able to get our listeners engaged on there. So if you want to talk football on the Get Off My Running Back podcast, let us know. Send me an email, personalargot@gmail.com, and let me know that you want to be a guest host. Because like we've had Rob Zip on there. These are our guest hosts. We've had Aaron was our first one. We had my buddy Christian, who was a big part of my baseball podcast that I did. But then we had Rob Zip, big time listener of the Personal Arrogance podcast. He hosted last week, and then this week we got the Martinez clan. So we're really trying to bring in our listeners and make you a part of the show. So if you want to be
a lot of fun.
Yeah, if you want to be on Get Off My Running Back, Jesse will be a host eventually. And if you want to be on there, if you want to spend an hour with me talking football, believe me, it's more painless than you think it will be. And we'd love to have you on there. Give us an email, personalargot@gmail.com, if you want to be a guest host.
Just don't do it if you chop liver.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta zip right through there like the Chip Kelly offense. and then my second reco this week, there are new seasons of the NBC sitcoms are now on Netflix. So if you want to catch up on the final season of 30 Rock, the final season of The Office, which is actually pretty lame.
Wow, that show's still on.
Well, it's over now, but the final season is on Netflix. And then the most recent season of also Parks and Rec, they're all up on Netflix. So you got a whole season of NBC comedies to watch, which I like to watch as like background stuff. Like I like to turn on The Office and then just surf the web and it's, you know, and escape my the deep, dark, depressing holes that that fester in my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps.
Soul with holes.
The soul holes. So check that out, and that's all the recos for this week. Jesse, that's a show, man. I think that's a show.
I think so, too. I've officially graduated onto water, so I think it's time to wrap it up.
Well, I'm almost sipping on the last dregs of my third bottle, so I think it's about time to wrap it up as well. Jesse, thanks so
much.
Each
of those bottles, 2.5 gallons.
Yeah, you know it. And listener, thank you so much for being a part of the show, and please keep in touch. We'd love to get you on, and until next time, remember that wherever you go,
and whatever you do,
please stay arrogant.
boop, 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 boop.